my sincere gratitude to all of the assembled devotees for coming this evening. My special gratitude to Nikunja Bihari Prabhu, Radharani Priya Devi, and their family for welcoming us to their very auspicious home. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes a scene that created a major transformation in his life and his service to the Lord. Divyad Brindaranya Kalpatru Madha Sriman Ratnakara Singhasanastau Sri Sri Radha Sila Govinda Devao Prasthalibi Sevya Mano Smarani. In Sri Vrindavan Dham, that land which is Chintamani Dham, the spiritual world, the eternal abode of the Lord. In Sri Braj Dham, there is a beautiful throne made out of most precious jewels. Sitting upon that ornamented throne is Brajendra Nandana in the form of Sri Govinda Dev, who is the transcendental Cupid. In this world, Cupid rules. Krishna tells in Gita, Kama Esha Krodha Esha, that we remain within this material existence simply due to the power of Kama. And what is the source of Kama? In this world, it is Kamadev, the Lord of Kama. That energy of the Lord within this external experience, in which the desire for personal enjoyment through attraction to objects of pleasure is very powerful. It can influence the eternal soul, which is full of knowledge and bliss, to engage in thoughts, words, and activities within the realm of such ignorance that they suffer perpetually for millions and millions of births, suffering perpetually. Why? Because of this attraction of Kamadev. But Kaviraj Goswami declares that Sri Govindadev is the transcendental Kamadev. Actually, whatever powers Kamadev have is only a perverted reflection of the attraction of Krishna. He is all attractive. And he is sitting upon his beautiful jewel throne in his threefold bending form, playing his flute in this temple that was established by Sri Rupa Goswami in Vrindavan Dham. And there are thousands of servitors of Govindadev at the time of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And they are offering so much wonderful service. At that time, the Lord was worshipped with so much beautiful ornaments and perfumes and silken dresses. It was exquisite. People from all directions around were coming with the best they had to offer Govindadeva. This was the bhakti of the Brijvasis in those days, and those who were devotees of the Vrindavan deities. Even if a poor person somehow came across a diamond or gold, they would go and present it to Govindadeva and remain poor, but very rich in their hearts. Simply amazing. What type of offerings? And thousands of servitors that Kaviraj explains, if he had thousands of mouths, he could not explain the beauty of their devotional service. But the chief amongst all the servants of Govindadeva was the great Adidas Pandit, who was an ocean of good qualities, whose name and fame, due to his loving service to the Lord, had spread throughout the universe. Adidas Pandit was a disciple of Ananta Acharya. Ananta Acharya was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, the very intimate loving friend of Lord Chaitanya. Gadadhar Pandit was always by the side of the Lord. The Lord could not live without him. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's South Indian tour, when Gadadhar Pandit came to visit with Shivananda Sen and the group of devotees from Bengal, 4 months they stayed and celebrated Rath Yatra. By the way, I'm going to continuously advertise our yatra. We're not spending 4 months, but we are spending 6 days in Jagannath Puri for Rath Yatra this year, so please make your plans ahead of time. No restrictions. We're hoping to have minimum 3,000 devotees in the kirtan before Lord Jagannath to escort him to Sri Vrindavan Dham in the form of Gundicha Mandir. So, Anandacharya was a disciple of this Gadadhar Pandit. Lord Chaitanya could not live without Gadadhar Pandit. That was their love. From childhood they were dear friends. After Mahaprabhu began his Sankirtan movement, Gadadhar Pandit was the constant associate of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya personally arranged a residence for him at the Yameshwar Tota, just beside the famous ancient temple of Yameshwar Mahadev. There was a very ancient deity which is said to have been worshipped by Lord Brahma at the beginning of creation, whose name is Tota Gopinath. In fact, the priests there claim that Lord Brahma, he wrote Govindam Adibhushan, the Brahma Samhita, in the presence of the deity of Tota Gopinath. Whether that is valid, certainly he did write it in the presence of Tota Gopinath, whether it was that particular form or not. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entrusted the deity to Gadadhar Pandit and requested him to take Chaitra Sannyas, a vow to never leave the service of his deity and to never leave Jagannath Puri for that purpose, which he did. And we know Mahaprabhu every day for about 3 hours sat in front of Gopinath and discussed Srimad Bhagavatam with Gadadhar Pandit. Three special devotees were very much giving pleasure to the Lord. Paramananda Puri, through his meditation on the Lord. Swarup Damodar Goswami, by his kirtan, his sweet kirtan, describing the loving pastimes of the Lord. And Gadadhar Pandit, by his recitation and explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anantacharya, according to Gaura Gaurnav Dasgupta Pika, was Sudevi Saki, one of the 8 most loving friends of Srimati Radharani in Sri Vrindavan. She appeared as Anantacharya and took initiation from Gadadhar Pandit. He was a virtual mine of magnanimous qualities. And his dear disciple was this Haridas Pandit. His character was that he was very tolerant, peaceful, gentle, magnanimous. He spoke very sweetly, and all of his activities were done for the welfare of others. Yes, Haridas Pandit, he respected everyone and dedicated his life as a well-wisher to work for the well-being of everyone. He was a dosha darshi, which is a very special quality. It is the quality of a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada also emphasizes this principle. He was not interested in seeing any faults in another devotee. He only accepted their good qualities. Herein, Srila Prabhupada describes that every human being has their virtues and their faults. Everyone. A devotee only sees the virtue. Even if a devotee sees faults, a devotee does not accept them. He's not interested in them. Only interesting in the good qualities of other Vaishnavas. And Srila Prabhupada says it is the difference between a fly looking for sore or a honeybee looking for nectar. A devotee is of that character. Therefore, Haridas Pandit, he was so pure that diplomacy, envy, and jealousy were unknown to his heart. Therefore, he was loved by everyone. When you give love, you attract love. If we're not being appreciated, we shouldn't blame others. We should examine, what is it about me? What is it that I'm not giving to others? That's not bringing about this proper reciprocation. Haridas Pandit was loved by all because he respected, he glorified, and he loved all. He was so enthusiastic to hear the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. It was his life and soul. He had fully dedicated his life to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda's mercy. And he was constantly eager to hear Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. And in the arena of devotees, he would speak continuously the glories of Chaitanya and Nityananda by reciting and giving explanations to Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. And all the Vaishnav community gathered around him to constantly hear these glories. Therefore, Haridas Pandit illuminated the entire assembly of devotees as a servant of Sri Sri Radha Govinda Dev. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he tells us that Haridas Pandit ordered him to write a book on the later pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, although I am shameless, low-born, and most fallen, I have been given this order by the mercy of Haridas Pandit. And the head priest of Radha Govinda Dev, and so many other great Vaishnavas who Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami names many, he said they all gave him the same instruction. In fact, the entire Vaishnav community echoed that order to write the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explained he felt shameless to accept this order, but yet his life and soul was only to please the devotees. He felt no qualification, but to please the devotees, he understood that the dust of their feet could empower him to do anything. So although all the devotees gave him this direction, he felt very anxious and disqualified. And he went to the temple of Sri Madan Mohan to pray to Madan Mohan for his mercy, his blessings. And right when he offered that prayer, the garland slipped off Madan Mohan's neck and fell right into the Pujari's hands, whose name was Goshai Pandit. Goshai Pandit placed that garland around the neck of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and all the people in the temple cried out very loudly, Hari Bol. And then he understood that all the Vaishnavas and the Supreme Personality of Godhead have given their order and blessings. But that wasn't enough, because Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur had written the original biography of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, which was then named Sri Chaitanya Mangal. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami prayed at the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was not even there. He just prayed at his lotus feet that you are the Vyasadeva of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. You have written his Bhagavat. You are the authority. Without your mercy, without your blessings, it would be offensive for me to take up where you left off. And Vrindavan Das Thakur appeared within his heart and gave his blessings. Then Kaviraj Goswami tells us he began the writing of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this spirit is the underlying foundation of a true devotee's heart in whatever they do. Whether we're writing, whether we're speaking, whether we're cooking, whether we're managing, whether we're giving some donation, whatever we may be doing, worshipping the deity. Srila Prabhupada so generously explains the nature of this spirit, that a devotee never feels him or herself qualified to do anything for Krishna, because Krishna is Vipu, he's unlimited, and we are Anu. And the devotee never thinks I'm pure. The purer we are, the more any speck in our heart will think, oh, I'm so contaminated. But a person that's contaminated, even if there's an ocean of dirt in their heart, if there's even a speck of good, they will think, I am pure. Why are you not honoring me? Why are you not respecting me? Hare Krishna. The devotee is humble. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, and Srila Prabhupada amplifies, that in this age of Kali, simply by chanting the names of Krishna, one can attain the perfection of life. But we have to chant without offense. And who here, or anywhere, can chant without offense? As long as we're chanting without offense, we cannot attain love of God by chanting Hare Krishna. But when we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, we can be free from offenses. But what Srila Prabhupada explains in this regard is, what does it mean to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda? It means following this particular teaching. Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sehishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. To be humble like a blade of grass. Humble like a blade of grass. Tolerant like a tree. Eager to offer all respect to others and expect none in return. By following this verse, we are actually taking shelter of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And in this spirit, then we can approach Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan and chant their names offenselessly. And very quickly, liberation awakens in our heart, and this consciousness goes beyond liberation to love of God, Krishna prayer, simply by chanting in this spirit. So a devotee never thinks, I'm the doer. Kaviraj Goswami only wanted to be a puppet. He said, now I am writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He was in his 90s when he began the effort. And he writes that he had rheumatism. And he had so many health problems in his old age. I mean, how many people, when they're in their mid-90s, begin such an unbelievable literature? But he did. In one chapter, he introduces by saying, I am diseased by the germs of material infection, and I am suffering from boils due to envy, and in this condition, I am taking shelter of the great physician, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Kaviraj Goswami says, I'm not writing this book. I have no qualification. It's the blessings of the Vaishnavas. It's the blessings of Guru, and it's the blessings of Krishna, Sri Radha Govinda Dev. Govinda Dev himself, Madan Mohan himself, is speaking, and I am just a parrot. I deserve no credit. I'm just a parrot repeating through my pen what they are speaking in my heart. It's their words. To be empowered by God means to be a puppet, an instrument of God. As long as we have an ego that I am the doer, I am the proprietor, I am the enjoyer, then we can't really be instruments of God. So we are depending and satisfying the devotees. If you're not satisfying the devotees, if that is not your intention, then you're not going to make much spiritual progress. According to Krishna, so this is our life and soul. Narottam Das Thakur prayed, Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nistarak Paichi Keva. Which means that no one has ever understood Krishna with love without satisfying Guru and the Vaishnavas through humble service. In fact, day before yesterday, I was at Golden Temple in Amritsar. And it's a huge complex, spotless clean everywhere. Thousands of people walking. But I didn't take more than about 15 steps in any direction without somebody sweeping and washing the floor and everything else. They're just cleaning, 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 cleaning. And they're distributing prasad 24 hours a day to anybody and everybody who comes. They had about 150 people rolling chapatis, and at the same time they had a machine that cooks perfectly 6,000 chapatis an hour. It's perfection of technology. And the kirtan going on 24 hours a day. But what was so beautiful about it is they do not pay anyone anything ever. It's all voluntary. There were multimillionaires from Toronto sitting next to simple peasants from villages of Punjab at the shoe stall. And their policy is you give the shoes, there's no money or anything, you give the shoes and they polish, whatever type of shoe it is, they clean it. They clean every piece of dirt off it and polish it, whether it's a chapel or whether it's a shoe. And then they, humbly, you know, they give you back your polished shoe when you're leaving. It's all voluntary. Hundreds and hundreds of volunteers a day from all over the world. And I was thinking, the mentality is when they go to the temple, they go to serve. They don't go to be served. They don't go to enjoy. They go to serve. People come from across the world to this place just to do the most menial service of polishing people's shoes and sweeping grounds and washing the floors and singing in the temple, distributing prasad, cooking prasad. While I was there, I was meditating. Savai pung shang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hokshache ahoitiki apriti hataya yatma supracedati. Srimad Bhagavatam gives the most developed, deepest conception of service. Now there's people who serve in the airlines, and there's people who serve in the grocery store, and people who serve in the police force. Everybody's doing some service. But what is the meaning of devotional service? Devotional service is the translation of bhakti. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, bhakti means ahoitikiya pratihata. Bhakti means devotional service that is unmotivated, unconditional, and uninterrupted. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this principle of Srimad Bhagavatam and explained it in its highest essence. Ashlisyava padiratam panashtu mama darshana maramahatam kurotuva yatatatata viratatu lampato mat purananatastu se evanapara. My dear Lord, if you like, you can give me the greatest happiness by embracing me. Or if you like, you can trample upon me. Or if you like, you can do worse than that. You can make me brokenhearted by totally neglecting me. But it doesn't matter, because I am your servant unconditionally. You can treat me any way you like. I am your servant 24 hours a day for all of eternity, unconditionally. One of the most famous inaugural presidential addresses in the United States history was given by John Fitzgerald Kennedy. He said with great conviction, the day he was coronated as the President of the United States, he gave his lecture to the whole nation and the world. And then he said, ask not what your country will do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And people stand up in ovations, and he got an applause that lasted a long time. And it echoes even today, 50 years later. People's hearts are very deeply affected by unconditional service, even on the material platform. But when that unconditional service is on the spiritual platform, with consciousness of Krishna, the all-attractive, supreme, that unconditional service attracts Krishna. What to speak of other living entities in this world? Chaitanya Charitamrita explains how Krishna will give mukti easily, and he'll give bhakti easily. Bhakti means various goals achieved for material enjoyment. Krishna will give bhakti, and he'll even give mukti, but it's very rare that he gives bhakti. And the reason why? Because bhakti, this unconditional, unmotivated service attitude, Krishna is bound by that bhakti. Krishna willingly cannot resist from being the prisoner in the heart of his devotee. That is the sweet, intimate nature of God's love. So yes, I was there, and I don't really know what these Sikh devotees, what their conception of God is, and I don't know what they do at home either. But as far as I know, at all of the gurudwaras in the world, this is the ideal, and it reaches its crescendo at Amritsar, which is like Vrindavan for the Sikh people. And I was just meditating that this is the foundational essence of Vaishnavism. Selfless service, eagerness for selfless service. There's nothing that can ever satisfy the heart more than offering selfless service to the Lord, his devotees, and the people in general. It's the ultimate satisfaction, the ultimate happiness, the ultimate goal. And how even though Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this and only this in such a developed and beautiful state, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes we become so much distracted by other issues. Sometimes we're very worried, we're very disturbed, we're very not anxious because we're not getting what we want. Yes. So one conclusion I was is that we shouldn't be sectarian when other people are doing what we're supposed to be doing better than us. Hare Krishna. Does that make sense? We should not be sectarian or judgmental when other people are doing what we're supposed to be doing better than us. If we want anything in return, it's not real devotional service. It's mixed devotion. And of course, people may have to make a living and all of that. But we should be eager, eager as anything, that any moment we can, and every moment we can, to render such unalloyed devotional service. And Krishna Das Kaviraj, he sets the highest example. Desired no credit, only wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita to satisfy the devotees. And Srila Prabhupada explains, in this regard, he uses the example of writing, but really it applies to anything we do in devotional service. We should not do it to become famous. We should not do it for prestige or honor in this world, ever. If we do, we'll get the honor, but we won't get Krishna. We'll get the prestige, but we'll die with our prestige. But we won't get Krishna. We should simply perform our service to satisfy the Lord and His devotees. That is pure heart. And that is our ultimate prayer and aspiration. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Should we have kirtan now? Or should we have questions, answers? Or should we do something else? Yes, Vishwarup Prabhu. Vaishnavas. He was just a simple person in his old age, just chanting japa. I don't know how much he was doing parikramas. He was very old. And he was sitting and hearing about Lord Chaitanya and about Radha and Krishna from the great souls. And this instruction transformed his whole life because it transformed his devotional service. Now he had a project to write a book, a huge book. He was ordered to write a book that would be the document of Lord Chaitanya's life and teachings for the rest of time. That's a great transformation in his life. Previously, he was just hearing and chanting at Sri Radha Kund, at Sri Vrindavan, worshipping his deity, Radha Vrindavan Chandra. And now he was an instrument of the mercy of all the devotees to spread their love throughout the world.
Should we also wait for the satisfaction to take place in our life too?
It's already there for all of us. It's already there for all of us. Trinadapi sunichena. To be humble, respectful, tolerant, selfless in our service. Haridas Pandit, he had one goal in life, according to the Krishnadas Kaviraj. What was his one goal? To satisfy the devotees. We all have all those instructions on our head. And if we take that instruction sincerely, to the extent we do so, our lives will be transformed.
How do we offer selfless service when we are actually paid for that service?
To the degree you're doing it for the money, it's not selfless at all. Really, what makes it selfless is what you do beyond that. That's selfless service. If you're getting paid for something, it may be justified that you need it and everything else. To the degree you're getting paid, it's less selfless. To the degree you're doing it for as little as possible, it's selfless. But the real selfless service is what you do beyond that. If you don't have time for anything beyond that, then it's quite conditional. Does that make sense? Try to digest that first. You're getting paid, it's not selfless. But what you do beyond that for Krishna, for the Vaishnavas, that is selfless. If you do it without expectations or conditions. Otherwise, it's service, but it's not selfless devotional service. So yes, we have families perhaps, and we need some money. To the degree we expect more, it's that less selfless. Now in our career we may be making so much, that's another thing. But when we're talking about devotional service, it's selfless in various ways. One is to the degree you don't want anything for doing it, or to the degree that what you get, you give back. If you get so much for what you're doing, but then you use it for the service of God and the satisfaction of the Vaishnavas and the upliftment of humanity, then even earning a lot becomes selfless service. So, to be selfless. No pain, no gain, as they say. It's not just a ritual, it's a movement of the heart. It's not that we have to live in poverty. But, you know, we have substantial time in our lives that we want to just do unconditional service to the Lord. Without anything in reason. If we're expecting respect or adoration or prestige, it's not selfless service. This is the highest, purest standard of spirituality. And not everyone can do that. But it should be our aspiration, it should be our prayer. We should try. Does that answer your question? No, something extra to digest before we have prasad. Yes.
Maharaj, is there anything that you saw at the Golden Temple that you feel can be implemented or should be implemented in our temple?
All of the above. to whatever extent we can. It's just wonderful. We may not be able to do everything, but can you imagine if we had hundreds of devotees all day, every day, just cleaning? We don't have to hire cleaners. Just people, anybody, rich, poor, just sweeping for Krishna, cooking for Krishna, serving for Krishna. That's what they do there. It's amazing. That's what people come there for, to serve, to hear about the Lord and to serve. So I think, you know, that spirit, it's very nice. It's actually the way ISKCON used to be at one time. But it's not that things have become degraded, it's just that, you know, the times and circumstances changed and made things more difficult. Obviously, most of these people have their jobs and their careers and everything else, but still, when they come to the temple, they're coming to give, 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 and give, and give, knowing that that's how they'll receive the greatest thing. With enthusiasm. Even though, you know, I'm a Hindu monk by their standards, they were offering me more respect than I get in most Krishna temples. They were offering so much respect to me, so much honor to me, wherever I was going, they were bowing and very friendly. So respecting others, humble service, it's a beautiful thing. So it's nice if our devotees, the counselors, inculcate this spirit in the devotees, come to do service. But then that brings the management of the temple the problem of providing service for everybody. But that's a very good problem. Is that all right? And that chapati machine was a very unconditional servant. 6,000 chapatis an hour and doesn't ask for anything. Amazing. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. We'll have a few minutes of kirtan.